My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
All right, so sometimes we get into the weeds here, man. Like, and it's good a lot of times because we can give our listeners and we can talk to people over at NRG and in the organization about, you know, some of the details and some of the small stuff that can make a big difference for the Houston Texans this year. We've talked today about, like, what if they get there and all that stuff. We talk about, like, Damian Pierce and being the second running back and being something and Cade Stover, and that's all important, and we're gonna talk about that. But I kind of feel like we're not sleeping on this because he's the franchise, CJ Stroud.
Yeah.
But have we even mentioned, hey bro, we haven't seen CJ Stroud on a football field since Baltimore.
Yeah, I think I don't want to say we sleeping on him, but I feel like we already consider that it's about to go on season two.
Yeah.
Like, this is his second season. Mm-hmm. Last year was his rookie year.
Yeah.
And so I think me personally too, I just assume, like, okay, lost to Baltimore.
Yeah.
It was a good season, but this year it's about to go on now. Like, he gonna continue.
So tonight you're gonna see CJ Stroud for the first time, and I feel like, you know, as much as we talk about the receivers and people are now calling them the triplets and all this other stuff, you're going to get to see the quarterback that could maybe take you to really, really special places. I kind of want to go back a little bit, and Chris Santiago put this together, to realize what we have here and maybe really just appreciate what we're on the brink of.
Stroud talking to his teammates. Third and three from the Houston 32. CJ in the gun. One back. Boom. CJ gets the snap. Here comes the blitz. CJ firing downfield to his right. And Tank has it at the 40, the 30, the 20, 10, 5. Touchdown. Tank Dell to the house.
Wow.
68 yards. The rookie scores. Third and seven from the Texans 48. Stroud shotgun. Motor in the backfield with him. CJ gets the snap. CJ throwing downfield and caught by Nico. 25-20. Breaks a tackle. 15-10-5. Rock and roll. Touchdown, Houston. CJ Stroud with more third down magic to the end zone. Here we go with Schultz motioning to the left. Stroud under center. Here's a little drop back and a pass to Brevin Jordan. Right side across the 35. Cuts inside 40. 50. The 40. Right sideline. He's going to go all the way. Brevin Jordan to the end zone.
No flags. Touchdown.
My goodness. The Texans go 76 yards in one play to retake the lead on Cleveland. First down from the Houston 25-yard line. Devin Singletary in the backfield. CJ under center with Nico Collins to the wide side left. And Schultz in motion to that side. CJ calls him out. CJ will throw on the first play for the Texans. Steps up. Fires deep down the field. And caught by Nico Collins at the 20. 15, 10, 5. Rock and roll. Touchdown, Houston. 75 yards on the opening play. Hello, Indy.
Unreal.
Hello, Indy.
Hey, I can't wait to hear them calls.
Dude, I'm
this
telling
season,
you,
man.
Like, I was like, before this show, I was like, dude, we're going to see CJ Stroud.
Yeah.
Like we're going to see, you know, we talk about other stuff all we want. We've never had that. You can talk about, hell, go back to the Oilers day, Warren Moon, Hall of Famer. Warren Moon was never like, that guy is, I mean, he was, like I said, he's a Hall of Famer. I'm not trying to downplay, but like, he was already a veteran when he got here because he played in Canada and all that stuff. Yeah. Like a young stud where you're going, that guy is going to take him to a Super Bowl. Steve McNair, they ended up leaving, you know? You can talk about Matt Schaub. Never really thought he was the guy. He was good. Never really thought he was the guy. Deshaun Watson. You kind of danced around with the idea, but you had, you know, numbskull as the coach. and there was never really that feeling that they could get there. This is the first time that we got a quarterback that, like, everyone in the NFL is saying, that dude is going to take him there.
Yeah, not only that, though. This is like the one quarterback that you drafted. That's yours.
Yes.
It's not like you ain't picking up a has-been mm-hmm. or somebody that was bouncing around and you bringing him in, see what he got and all that stuff. That was kind of the conversation with Kansas City and when they got Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, they had some quarterbacks. They had some legendary quarterbacks, but it was more of like the Montana's later in his career, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But for you to draft your quarterback, your franchise quarterback, early on like that, and now it's like, okay, this is the guy. Mm-hmm. And we could probably have like a good 12 to 15 year run with this guy.
Yeah.
And you know, for the Texans, this is year two.
Mm-hmm.
This is year two out of how many left?
Exactly.
So that's a better feeling than and knowing this is the guy.
Yeah.
This is not like a Matt Schaub where he's like, this guy's good. He's good, but I don't know how far it could take us.
Yeah, look, let's put it very bluntly, and this is kind of counterintuitive to a lot of the things we talk about on this show, and in fact, some of the things we're going to talk on this show today, like all the little minutiae, all the things that about the defense and the offense. Let's just be honest here. In the big picture, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters but C.J. Stroud, and you're going to get to see him for the first time since last season tonight. And it's gonna be damn exciting to see where they go from here.
Yeah, and I know it's preseason, and he probably gonna play maybe one or two series, but I'm just super fired up to see what he got in year two, because he didn't play like a rookie last year. I don't care what nobody say.
Yeah.
He ain't played like a rookie last year, so I'm just hoping he gained more experience in the offseason and just learned more things. Where year two is going to be like a Patrick Mahomes type of year where, you know, he going year two, year three blazing,
mm-hmm.
where maybe we could talk about an MVP or something like that. I know I'm getting ahead of myself.
No, we're all getting ahead of ourselves. That's part of the deal when you got a squad like this, you got a quarterback like that.
He has such a good rookie year where I think the sky is the limit.
Mm-hmm. So perfect world is that.
Yeah.
Perfect world is you know, he's everything we thought he was going to be, and he's that this year. And D'Amico Ryans always says it, and Nick Caserio always says it. Oh, we, you know, words have never won a championship. No, that's true. But when we watch C.J. Stroud today, that's why I said earlier, like, the offense was clicking without a game plan, without, you know, anything, and Davis Mills at quarterback last week. I kind of want to just see like a dart, you know, or a big play, or evading the rush and making a play, because it's about the quarterback. It's about C.J. Stroud. You know, so many other things are important, but it's all about that guy. And my perfect scenario is I believe they're going to play a lot of close games. I've said that a bunch of times this year in the regular season with just the terrific quarterbacks they're facing. I think. Like, we're going to know that C.J. Stroud is the guy when he wins those close games against Aaron Rodgers, against Lamar Jackson, against Josh Allen, against all these guys. It's a C.J. Stroud year, and it starts today.
Yeah, and I'm all here for it, man. Yeah. I think he's going to take that next step. I was very confident in him last year, and he did his thing against the Browns in the playoffs. And I know he got more in the tank, man. I know he's just getting started. And even last year too, man, I felt like the offense, it was, I felt like he didn't have a lot of weapons on the offense like mm-hmm. you would have thought, man. I don't think they thought he was going to be that good.
There were some surprises, but you had Noah Brown.
Yeah, you had no, I mean, outside of Nico Collins and Tank Dell, that was, to me, that was a surprise too. I didn't think he was going to come out guns blazing like that.
Yeah.
But now you add Stephon Diggs and you add Joe Mixon. I think he can do a lot with this offense, and I can't wait to see what Bobby Slowick do.
Yeah, and the confidence, you know, the offseason to me, what obviously we weren't watching him play. We're going to watch him for the first time tonight. But I kind of feel like C.J. Stroud, like confidence-wise, he's always been a confident quarterback, but he's more public with it now. He called himself a killer sitting next to Micah Parsons. Now, you might say that's a little cocky or whatever. I think he just feels like, I am the dude. Like this, I have translated it and gotten better from Ohio State. And that alone is kind of what I want to see. Like that swagger, whatever you want to call it. But he walks, everything was new last year, and nothing is going to be, or very little is going to be new this year. So I feel like he's already, we've already seen some development in him in terms of like, he just has that aura of a quarterback that can get it done, you know?
Yeah, and that's what this team needed, man. Yeah. This team needed somebody like that can come in and just take over and be that leader, mm-hmm. that leader of men. And he, I think he riled this team up where, you know, they were super confident going into this season, mm-hmm. man. I wasn't really that confident. I had them winning maybe about 4 or 5 games, mm-hmm. but I was dead wrong, man. And I'm fine with being dead wrong about that. And yeah. I think if it wasn't for him, man, I think a lot of people probably still wouldn't be talking about this team. I don't know if a lot of people would be excited about this team.
Absolutely.
He brought new life to this team and got this team to the playoffs.
Yeah. I'm getting a little bit of pushback on the Warren Moon thing.
Yeah, I see, man.
And I don't want that to be interpreted that way. Warren Moon was
the hell you talking awesome. About, Lopez?
He was awesome. But we played the heartbreak earlier. Somebody said, hey, hold on. Moon has took us to an AFC championship. No, he didn't. Didn't take you to the AFC championship game. You can't, you know, rewrite history here. But, you know, there's some, I get it. You know, a lot of people have that connection with the Love You Blue Oilers. Hell, I do. I'm just here to tell you, like, one of the things that about me covering sports in Houston for 35 years now, it's going to be 35 years on January 1st, is I was actually there. Like, I was there. I covered the team. I watched the team. And I'm not trying to preach. All I'm telling you is you never felt that with Warren Moon. You thought he was really good. He was a big numbers guy. And maybe part of it was a lot of people didn't believe in the run-and-shoot offense, and it ended up coming back and biting them in the ass in Buffalo. The run-and-shoot offense was a bigger reason of why they lost that game as anything, because they couldn't run the damn ball. Because everything was short passes and they didn't have anybody to run. So you never felt that with Warren Moon. I'm not disrespecting him. I love him. I got to know him. He's a Hall of Famer. All I'm saying is that feeling. So let me ask then, what is your feeling about C.J. Stroud? 713-572-4610. I'm not trying to be preachy. I'm telling you, I was there.
Yeah.
I followed this team. I was in Buffalo. Hell, we were just talking with Andy. When they took that lead going into the second half or in early in the second half, I went to the back of the press box and started making calls to my travel agent. That's how you did travel back then. Like, hey, give me a ticket to Pittsburgh, you know? And then it collapsed. You never had that feeling that you have now with C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, and I don't want to be the well-actually guy and probably piss some people off, but technically Warren Moon didn't play for this franchise that's here right now.
That's true.
Hey, man, ask him yourself. He going to say, hey, Tennessee Titans. He going to defend his Tennessee Titans.
But it is
now.
Houston. I mean, I feel it.
Yeah. I got you. But, yeah. But, yeah, no, I see what you mean. Like, and it's definitely no disrespect
it's
to Warren Moon.
It's a feeling.
He a legend. He a Houston legend.
Like,
but C.J. Stroud, this is somebody you drafted,
mm-hmm.
and you knew from the rookie year that this is the guy right here.
Yeah.
And this is the guy that ain't going nowhere anytime soon.
Yeah.
And so that's a really good feeling, man.
It you just hit it. Like, to me, it's a feeling. Like, I feel like this guy is it. And we're going to be able to catch a glimpse today, and it starts today. And then we're gonna go from there and see how far he can take it.
And then even I'm looking at the a text from the 713. He said Deshaun Watson was dynamic, Bill O'Brien was the problem then.
Yes.
And that's the other thing that I feel good about this. Mm-hmm. You have a really good head coach in DeMeco Ryans. So it's not like you got C.J. Stroud, but Bill O'Brien is calling the plays.
Yeah.
And it's like a Debbie Downer. No, you have DeMeco Ryans, who's a damn good head coach, at least in his first year.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's nothing to look at like, oh, you got C.J. Stroud, but this is the offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Everything is looking good, man. So,
I
totally get how people can say, oh, Super Bowl or AFC Championship. I can see why people feel good about this, because even with Deshaun Watson, I thought he was really good here, but I just didn't feel the confidence that he can get out of Bill O'Brien's way.
No, you're absolutely right. That's as big a part as anything. Like, even with Warren Moon, I just mentioned it. You're like, can this run and shoot offense win a Super Bowl? It looked like they were on their way, but they couldn't run the damn ball. And there were questions, you know, about coaching back then. There were fights among coordinators back then. Then you move forward, and you got Deshaun Watson, cool, but you had Bill O'Brien, you know, and then there was even the Schaub years. You were like, this is a squad. I mean, that was as talented as you could find, but was Matt Schaub, did he have that extra, you know, that feeling like I talked about?
Can this guy get you through the playoffs?
Yeah. And here you got the head coach, you got the general manager, you got the complimentary pieces, and you got a quarterback that can take you there. Like, it's a feeling with C.J. Stroud. I'm really excited, and you know this, Figgy. I mean, we've been working together long enough. Like, I'm not gonna say this is a Super Bowl team if I don't feel like it's a Super Bowl team. I'll let you know on the Super Bowl, but I know they're capable of making that kind of run. I know it.
Yeah, I know it too. And you know, like I said, I'm scared to say Super Bowl because of PTSD.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be surprised if they get close.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't sit there and say, man, they overachieved.
Yeah.
Nah, man, I think it's very possible. I think they can beat anybody outside of maybe one or two teams.
Yeah.
So they have a really good chance.
No, it's I just wanted to bring that up. Hey guys, number seven's on the field tonight.
Yeah.
You may get a little excited to see old number seven out there, because a lot of people haven't even seen him.
Yeah.
This year. We've seen him at practice. We've seen him, you know, some of these scrimmages and stuff, but haven't even seen him yet. All right, so confessions next, and maybe, I don't know if I got a bone to pick with Figgy or if I'm just going to laugh about it, but I believe the term, Sean Bajani, correct me if I'm wrong, is you tried to gas me up last night. Did I do that right?
Yeah.
All right, we'll talk about that in confessions next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be. Watch this.
These are my confessions. All right, I can't wait for the internet going nuts. This is driving me nuts. We're going to break down. I don't like that term either. We're going to give you five things that you can actually grasp hold of tonight and figure out if you're going to get some signs on just how good this team. We were just talking about CJ Stroud, but just how good this team is good. Right now, let's get to confessions brought to you by Sagamore Rye Whiskey. How about that? Watch this. These are my confessions. I damn near disowned Figgy last night.
Oh no.
Oh my God.
This was so great, man.
This was I wish the audio was playable because he actually was recording me. I didn't know this was going on. So we went out to dinner last night. And you know, I ordered whatever and Figgy ordered a steak. And the waiter came up and says, "Yes sir, what would you like?" And he goes, "I'd like the 8-ounce, what'd you say, ribeye or whatever?
Center cut.
Yeah, I'd like the 8-ounce center cut. Well done, please." And my jaw just dropped and my head snapped and I stared at Figgy and then he goes, "Nah, I'm just kidding. I'd like it medium rare."
Oh my God.
He got me.
It's funny when I said I'm just playing because the whole table was quiet.
Even the waiter.
Yeah, like, everybody was quiet. And then when I say I'm just playing, it was like a sigh of relief.
Yeah.
Like, oh, man, I was about to judge you, man. What the hell are you doing, man?
Yeah, no, man. No way someone should eat a well-done steak.
If you order a well-done steak, you should stop eating steak. Seriously, just get a hamburger.
No, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, if you order a steak well-done, just stop.
Yeah, I haven't had... One thing about my steaks, like, I like medium rare. But I'm a big fan of having like a charred steak, like charred steak.
Yeah.
But I just don't want the inside like well done.
Yeah.
But
I like spun on
them. Yeah. I'm like, I'm recording. I'm like, you know what? I just want to see what he do when I say this.
You see me? I order medium or medium rare. Just depends on kind of what I'm feeling. That
yeah. Time. Yeah. Medium is, I order hamburgers medium.
Yeah.
And some people would not like that. They like it. They don't like the red in the middle or whatever, but I get it, but I order hamburgers medium and steaks medium rare, or sometimes rare, again, kind of on the feeling there. But yeah, I'm glad you corrected yourself. Let me just say that. Watch this.
These are my confessions. Hey, screw it, man. Screw it. I was watching the Olympics yesterday, the game.
Yeah.
And look, if I'm Rafael Stone and I'm watching the Olympics, I'm going all in on KD, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Hey, I was not. I really wasn't on board at first, but that dude is a killer.
He's
man.
A killer.
He is a killer. That guy need to be in Houston. I don't care. Give up them picks for him. Look, I get he's what, 35, 36.
Yeah.
That dude is a killer, man. When he's on, can't nobody stop.
He doesn't care.
Don't nobody stop him. Yeah. I actually got a 2-part confession to this, but yeah, get him in Houston, please, please. The second,
it's been out there.
Yes. The second part is I like how KD handles his social media, man. Because remember a couple years ago, he got caught using the burner.
Yeah.
I like the way he rolls on social media, man. He mm-hmm. just don't care. He'll clap back at fans.
He did last night. That's what I'm saying. He don't care.
Early this morning, somebody said he was up 5 in the morning going back and forth with somebody. Oh, I know. My bad, Chris. I thought you had something to say.
Yeah.
I was going to have you get in. But, yeah, I like KD on social media, man. He's very entertaining, and he don't care.
Yeah. Go ahead, Chris. These
are my confessions. Mine has to do with USA basketball, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, what we witnessed was legendary, man.
It was legend, absolutely.
I mean, let's talk about LeBron, KD, and Steph.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is it, man. It kind of made me sad because it's just like we just witnessed three of the best players to ever play the game. And who knows how much longer they have in their career. We just got to enjoy the moment.
Yeah.
Man. We have to enjoy the moment. Like, whether you dislike Curry because of what he did to the Houston Rockets, whether you dislike KD because of what he did joining the Warriors and all that stuff. Like, yeah. And if you hate LeBron, whatever. But just enjoy greatness, man. Because they're not going to be here that much longer.
Now, you're right. But yeah, we all know there's going to be another generation. There's going to be another three. And we said the same thing about Bird and Magic.
Yeah.
And then there was Jordan, you know, and then there was Chuck and all that stuff. But yes, enjoy this while you
can. That's kind of how I've been taking the approach with LeBron, because I know people tired of LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, man, I don't know if I'm going to see anything like this again. Somebody that came into the league at 18 and pretty much took it by storm.
Yeah.
And 21 years later, he's still pretty much a top 10 player, top five, top 10 player.
Yeah.
And playing at this level. Like, I don't know if I'm going to see that again.
No, man. That's true.
I don't know if I'm going to see. That's why I actually watched him break that scoring record.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't going to see that for a long time, man.
The scoring record, you're right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know if we're going to see that. Like, yeah. I want to be able to tell my grandkids, like, I remember that day.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I kind of got that approach with LeBron.
I will say, I will shed a tear when LeBron retires.
Yeah, I'm telling you. And yeah. I think he's transforming himself even more now in the Olympics. It's kind of taking him to an even higher level or a more global type audience. Watch this. These are my confessions. So last night after we got home from dinner that I had with Figgy, started watching the Olympics. I almost slipped because I was just being myself. And so me and millions of other grown-ass men love Sydney McLaughlin Lavroni for a number of reasons. Not just her athletic prowess. And so we're watching it. We're watching her win the gold medal and breaking a world record. And my wife is sitting, you know, next to me on the couch, and I'm in my chair. And she goes, "She is really pretty." And I went, man, I literally said, man, I was going to say, man, she is fine. And I went, yeah, she's attractive.
You almost got caught.
Yeah,
man.
She's all right. She's all right. I literally like said half the word man. I was going to say, man, she is fine as bleep. And I went, yo, she's attractive. She's all right. She's good. Watch this. These are my
confessions. So a lot of people been upset about Jason Tatum not playing in the Olympics and what the hell is Steve Kerr over here trying to do. I kind of understand why people are upset, but where I get a little upset is why the hell is Derek White just getting all this time, man?
Now that's
to
a good
me
point.
Like nobody is talking about that. I'm gonna be nobody's talking about guy.
Yeah,
dog, you are the fourth, maybe fifth best player on the Celtics team.
Yes.
And you getting more time than obviously Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
And they picked you over Jaylen Brown. Like, I just don't understand Derek. I'm sure he's a good player. He's a good player.
Mm-hmm.
But, dog, you on Team USA getting some minutes? I just do not get that, man. I don't understand why Jason Tatum ain't playing over Derek White.
Steve Kerr's getting roasted.
He was. It's funny because I tweeted. I'm like, I'm not the basketball expert, but I'm like, is he getting out coached?
Mm-hmm.
This was obviously when they was losing. And then I seen a tweet from Draymond Green pretty much saying, sometimes you got to scrap the rotation.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yep, that answers my last tweet.
Look, man, he is getting destroyed.
He lucky he got the team he got.
And they might win the gold medal.
Yeah. And like, all will be forgotten.
Might. They will.
Oh yeah, I think they will. I think that's a wrap. But we'll get back to that. We'll definitely get back to that. Watch this. These are my confessions. I woke up today and it was 1987.
Dang.
Time travel.
Okay.
Because they
I'm
got
not here then.
Yeah.
I wasn't around.
Chris, were you here?
Oh no.
No, I know. No, really. I woke up, opened the old laptop. I said, "Oh look, it's 1987." Because the break dancing is in the Olympics. Look at this crap. Like, I'm not trying to be old man on the porch here, but I'm like, okay, maybe if this were the Seoul Olympics in 1988, like, isn't this from the 80s?
It is. That's where hip hop started, man. Hip hop started from breakdancing, DJing, MCing, being the master of ceremony, and just art.
When was the last time either of you two guys were out and you saw someone breakdancing?
I have never seen nobody breakdance in person, man. Nope. I'm a little too young for that.
It's been years. It's been years. And you know what's kind of crazy? My dad used to breakdance. And he used to always tell me, oh, yeah, I used to breakdance on the street, blah, blah, blah.
We
got to
get some videos of that. Yeah,
no, I need to see him.
Is your dad from Houston?
No, my dad's he was raised in New York. Mm-hmm. So
that explains it all, mm-hmm. man. Yeah. So, look, I ain't going to lie. I got to confess, I actually like that, man. To me, just being a hip-hop fan and just seeing a lot of people probably wouldn't look at that as hip-hop now because it was way back then. But yeah. That's where hip-hop started, man.
Oh, for sure.
And for it to,
like, well known.
To see it in the Olympics,
yeah,
and just how global it is now, I'm actually fine with it. I ain't think people still breakdance, but
I'm all for, and I've always encouraged this, even back in the 80s when I started in this business, to expand the Olympics, to include some sports that are more relevant to a wider audience, not just make it old traditional. Like I'm a big fan of, like, rock climbing. I think that's a good Olympic sport. It's athletic. It's good. You know, some of these other things that are relatively new to the Olympics, you know, these newer sports, I get it. I encourage it. But how the hell are they putting breakdancing in the Olympics in 2024?
I know it's a little too late.
Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, hey, I'm all for it, man. I like to see it, man. I wish it could have been back in the 80s, but
yeah,
I'm all for it, man. I'm all for it.
All right, I believe it was either Stevie Nicks or Paul Wall that said, you got to get your mind correct. I forget which one of them said that.
Who said it first?
Yeah.
Paul Wall said it for sure.
So we're going to get your mind correct for tonight's game. Texans Steelers, we're gonna show you five things that you better be watching for, and they're gonna be good signs for the Texans moving forward. Next,
live from the Twin Peaks studio, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
All right, so it was Paul Wall, right?
Paul Wall, Chameleon there.
Yeah, should get your mind correct.
Yep, that was the name of their album.
All right, we got a game tonight. We got CJ Stroud. We got starters, mostly starters. Let's get our mind correct.
I love football, man. It's more than just a game for me, man. So when it just comes to game time, like, my whole mentality changes, you know what I'm saying? But it's just more so, like, I just go out and dominate and win and have fun, man, and just wreak havoc. And I think those, like, are the biggest things that just I won't be denied.
Great first training camp practice for any NFL team. The Texans are getting started before everybody else, so Christmas is here early.
Smell that? Smells like football.
Show it up. I ain't think they're gonna show up with the rain.
They don't matter.
Looking forward to be back out there in the football field. You know, there's this long wait in the offseason. You get a taste of it during OTAs, and then training camp comes, you know. It's football for the next 5 to 6 months.
Build relationships with your teammates. That's one thing I can tell you about these guys. We love being around each other. We always have a great time when we're around each other because we stay close when we play together.
Some of these guys haven't sat down and had a conversation with somebody, genuine conversation, in God knows how long. So it means a lot to me, and it also means a lot to them.
So. I mean, it's just a hell of a thing that we didn't build over here, man. And to be a part of something this special, it's everything to me, and I can't do nothing but do whatever I can, man, to make the most out of it.
We get to play some football tonight, man. We get to play some football tonight.
Yeah, I'm hyped up, man.
Hey. By the way, pregame show with
3:00.
Yeah, I was just we're on the same wavelength here.
Yeah.
Sean and the boys coming in at 3 p.m.
It's always good hearing the pregame too, man. Usually
it's
I had the pregame show on the Odyssey app. Kind of walking around the house a little bit and just listening, just getting pumped up for it. So, yeah.
It gets you pumped up.
Yeah.
Like, we a lot of times, you and I spend a lot of time out tailgating, and you hear people playing it, or you hear it on Bud Plaza.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right.
Yeah. It's just cool just them breaking the game down, what to look for and all that stuff. So, check it out on the Odyssey app, Sports Radio 610 and all that, just kind of get the juice going.
Yeah, so that helped get our, by the way, shout out to HoustonTexans.com putting that that video audio together. It did get me a little juiced for, I mean, it's a preseason game, but who cares? Yeah. It's football.
Hey, it's football,
We're
man.
Playing football tonight, as they said there at the end. So the signs, like, because it's just going to be little things. It's going to be the offense, maybe a series or two, according to D'Amico Ryan. Same thing with the defense. But there's going to be signs. We're going to be watching this game tonight. We're going to be talking about it on Monday, about this and this has got us pumped up, or hey, maybe we need to watch a little closer here or there. So let me start. Number one, and it's not even close, is it's not even like a unit of a particular unit. It's one player. It's Dameon Pierce. For me, Dameon Pierce, first of all, you don't get a chance like this very often. You had a bad year. Let's just be honest.
Yeah.
You had a year that was kind of, you got into your own head.
Yeah, and he acknowledged that.
And let's listen to him acknowledging that about last year.
I don't see anything different about the style, but mentally, I'm leaps and bounds ahead of what I was rookie year. You know, rookie year, we had I won't say as big of a playbook as we do now.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a mental shock going from rookie year, having something so compact, then having Slow, who literally has, you know, looks off of everything. So getting another year of that up under my belt, you know, I feel comfortable. I feel confident on the field. That's the thing. You know, I feel confident on the field. You know, I feel good at what I'm doing. I feel good before I even get to the play. Yeah. So it's like my pre-snap reads are, you know, much more smoother, you know, quicker. I'm not doing as much thing when I get the ball. It's just me playing ball at that point. Like at practice, like, you know, things get fixed at practice. I'm just working on, okay, how can I hit it 100 miles per hour and don't stop? Like, you know what I'm saying? The right way. So that's really what the difference is. You know, it's an intellectual thing. You know, mentally, I'm more prepared. Mentally, I'm more clear, more confident. And just overall, just a better football player, man.
It takes a very humble and strong person to basically say, let me interpret what he just said. I didn't get it last year. Like that's what he's saying.
Yeah.
It was too much. I didn't get it.
And that's where it start, man. Yeah. Sometimes, like, we always talk about how people need to look themselves in the mirror and say, you know what? I was the problem.
Yeah.
I didn't get it last year.
But
you know what? I worked on that during the offseason, mm-hmm. and this year was, I'm going in fresh.
Yeah.
And last year, you know, even though it wasn't a good year for me on the field, but that was a good year for me mentally realizing that I was the problem and I need to get myself together.
Yeah. It's really, really hard to understand and admit I felt dumb. You know, I've done, you know, we've all done, like, I just felt dumb. I didn't get that. Yeah, I didn't understand
that. A lot of people don't do that, man. A lot of these people, whenever they have a good year like that, these players get over their heads. Mm-hmm. They feel like, hey, it ain't me. It's the coaching. Like, a lot of people would blame the coaching scheme and all that stuff. And he was honest. He said, hey, you know, I ain't going to the season right.
So that's why, like, tonight and you said this earlier, and I hope you're right too. I hope he goes and plays beyond with just the first team. I hope he plays into the second quarter, your first and second team, maybe into the half, because there's no favors being done for Dameon Pierce right now. It's not like people this morning, we were wondering, might he get cut?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
But the fact that you're talking about that, like, he's got a lot to prove.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to get cut. I think he's safe.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't surprise me if he did.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think they gave him every chance to win or keep this job. They didn't draft the running back super high where, you know, is he battling it out.
Yeah.
He's going, I don't even know who he's going against. Maybe Cam Akers now.
Probably Cam Akers at this point. Maybe J.J. Taylor.
Yeah.
We'll see him tonight.
Yeah. And I don't think them guys are better than him right now.
Well, we'll see.
But yeah, we're going to see tonight.
We're going to see tonight. Here's the other thing. That's one. Here's another thing, and this is what I was so fired up about. You guys listening know, you know, we came in on Friday, and I was like, okay, I'm liking what I'm seeing from Bobby Slowick, because they didn't even have a game plan or anything, and they just went boom, boom, boom down the field. Well, now it's with C.J. Stroud. We talked about C.J. Earlier in this hour, but this is what Bobby Slowick expects to see.
Yeah, same as everyone else. I just want to see him grow. You know, everybody has a whole lot that we could continue to get better at. We can continue to improve upon, and it could be something big that really affects the entire offense, or it could be something very small that's just for him individually. But every day we give out specific coaching points to individuals. Obviously, he gets a lot of those, and just focusing on those every day, emphasizing those every day, and just stacking good days right now is really huge for CJ.
Going to be huge. And what we're going to be looking for is that extra development. Like I said, I'm not going to spend too much time on this. We talk a lot about CJ today, more so, I thought, deservedly, because we haven't really talked about what we expect from him. But the next thing that you can look for, the third thing that I think is very, very important, you can get some signs tonight, is this defense. If you listen to us and you trust us, if you listen to others on the team that have talked about it, players, and you trust them, experts around the NFL, and you trust them, this defense has gotten a lot better thanks to Azeez Al-Shaair and Danielle Hunter. You know, we mentioned Danielle Hunter quite a bit yesterday and played some audio. Those two dudes are playing, and yeah. Those two dudes on the front seven, and Derek Stingley's playing at cornerback. So we're going to have a sign of just how big of an improvement, you know, Al-Shaair is, and just how important he is. And then Danielle Hunter. Now, Will Anderson isn't playing, but we're going to see what Danielle Hunter can do.
Yeah, Al-Shaair, that's pretty much the quarterback on the
and
defense,
he's playing,
man.
His ass
and
off.
He
number zero in your program, which is even badass.
Yeah, I like that he got the number zero.
That's
man.
Badass.
But no, I can't wait to see him, man. Danielle Hunter, we know what he can do.
Mm-hmm.
He been doing it the last couple years, but Azeez, yep. Somebody that pretty much replaced Cashman,
yeah.
Blake Cashman. This could be something special to me, man.
If you haven't seen those two dudes, you're going to be in for a treat if they're anything like what we've seen.
Yeah, I like how Will Anderson talked about in his press conference, mm-hmm. and said, I guess he made a mistake and jumped off sides, yeah. and he was upset. And Azeez said, stop freaking pouting.
Yeah.
I like that a lot, man.
Yeah.
And you could tell he got command of this defense.
Yep.
And even when I was out there training camp, man, I seen him talking to D'Amico Ryans. He was on the sideline.
Always, yeah.
And he was communicating with D'Amico Ryans about mm-hmm. what they had going on defense. I'm like, oh, he's in tune.
And he's in tune with D'Amico going back to the 49ers day.
That's very important,
yeah.
man. That's very important.
And that 49ers defense, those linebackers carried a big load, and they were integral in how good they could be. Number four of things that I think you're going to get some real science here, is this special teams, is this kickoff, and kickoff return of Frank Ross going to separate itself. Now, and it also ties in with Damian Pierce, because Damian Pierce and Steven Sims have been the first returners on the kickoffs. And if he can shine on that, then maybe we can be on to something with the special teams. This is Frank Ross talking about it.
It was such a learning experience. Every coaching staff I had a bunch of people reach out to me. What did that? It felt way different than practice, in my estimation, my opinion. Hey, how fast do we really run and hit? Hey, how fast do these blockers get on you? How fast do these cover players get on top of their blocks? So it felt tremendously different. We're able to go back, and people were the guys doing it were able to say, oh, like, here's how that really feels. So as much as you go live in practice, pads on, we've had those training camp periods where it's full team kick return and we're padded, but you don't really finish on the ball carrier. And, you know, that was our first time of doing that. So we learned a lot. And I think individually, what do those blocks look like? It was a huge gaining learn experience. And every team across the league is about to feel that is going to play for the first time this weekend. So there's a lot to adjust and continue to move forward on.
You really wouldn't know it from the Hall of Fame game, but I still believe very, very adamantly that these new kickoffs rules are going to determine a lot more games than they ever have. These new kickoffs under the new rules, they're going to determine a lot more games than they ever have. And you got the right guy in charge in Frank Ross, if they can all figure it out. And he just talked about that they're still trying to figure it out.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how Frank Ross handled this, because yeah. I don't think he was too happy about the subtle change at all.
And he doesn't like the new kickoff.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
he's adjusting.
Yeah, exactly. So we know Frank Ross is a friend of the show. He's a beast at what he do.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he was here for so long during these different coaches.
Yeah,
he kept his job with a whole new coaching staff. So I'm interested to see how he adjusts to it,
mm-hmm.
and if he can continue being the best special teams coach in the league. And yeah, man, I think I think he'll be.
I think these kickoffs are going to be huge.
I think a lot of, and the good thing is, yeah. I think all of these coaches are learning.
Yeah,
they're trying to figure this out, man. I seen it at the Hall of Fame game where
it wasn't nothing.
It was a couple penalties.
Yeah,
where you know people
it was
still
sloppy. It wasn't exciting.
Yeah,
it was
people just still trying to figure it out, and I think it's going to take a couple games to where teams can find the advantage.
Yeah,
and take advantage of it.
Yeah, and I think we're going to be able to maybe start seeing that tonight. Maybe that'll be a sign. Last thing here, in terms of this could be a sign of really good things. We're all aware that CJ Stroud is the franchise, but there are some little things that can put you over the top and maybe get you into that category of elite in the AFC. I think one of them is if you can find a second tight end. Like if you can find, whether it's Cade Stover, and that's where I'd be leaning, or Brevin Jordan, and somebody that can really complement Dalton Schultz, then you're really onto something. And I think D'Amico Ryans agrees.
Cade has been the guy we saw on tape in Ohio, just tough, right? Making tough competitive catches, right? Finishing strong with the football, like the couple plays he made in the game, you know, last Thursday. It was just, it's cool to see a guy, like, you see him in practice, but you never quite know how they're going to respond when they get in the game. But it was cool to see Cade just be who Cade has been. Tough, physical, competitive, finishing, like, loving football. That's the Cade I knew and I grew to love watching him at Ohio State, and that's the guy who showed up in the Hall of Fame game.
All right.
This is a very important battle right here, man.
Yeah, it is.
And I know, you know, we really don't talk about the second tight end, and I feel like a lot of people penciled in Brevin Jordan as the guy, maybe based just off of experience alone, and, mm-hmm. you know, you don't want to pass him up over a rookie.
Yeah.
But now, I think this is very important. To me, Cade Stover is a traditional tight end that every team wants. Somebody that's big, that can block and catch. And Brevin Jordan, fortunately, he's not the biggest blocker.
Yeah.
And we had Jonathan Alexander on pretty much saying how he improved his blocking.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
I think Brevin Jordan is the secret sauce that they're going to do some other stuff
You mean Cade Stover?
No, Brevin
Jordan. Oh, bro, you mean in another position.
He's going to be the
slot
secret sauce.
I
think they're going to move him around and probably, I think in the
he's been in the backfield.
In the perfect world, I think they're going to use him more like how they did with the Browns.
You also have to steal a roster spot somewhere because you're going to have more receivers.
Yeah.
And the kickoff team is going to bring some more running backs or, you know, linebackers. So you're not going to have – you got to – a fullback necessarily, you might be able to steal a spot there. All due respect to Andrew Beck.
I think so, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so they're really doing this in New England. They're talking about a sixth-round quarterback. Who else was drafted in the sixth round in New England?
Oh, God.
They're really doing this. Doing this around the NFL next.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.